Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton went several rounds in their MSNBC debate last night, each laying out why the other would not be a good president. But when asked about choosing the other as VP, neither ruled it out. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is setting records for expletives used in public appearances. And the last GOP debate before Tuesday's New Hampshire primary takes place tomorrow night without Carly Fiorina. Let's get to our 2016 weekly roundup.
Here and now,
2016.
Very nice, Robin.
Thank you.
Also with us now from New Hampshire, Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, and Asma Khalid, campaign reporter for NPR. Welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, Asma, let's start with you. Set the scene. In New Hampshire, we're 4 days away from the primary. By the way, this is not Iowa, where Cruz and Trump and Rubio were fighting it out over evangelicals. What candidate do you think benefits most in New Hampshire from the fact that voters there are more moderate, they're more secular, and 40% of them are unaffiliated with a party?
Well, on the GOP side, I think it's clear that Marco Rubio has benefited tremendously. I've been out with his campaign this week, and you know, they sort of like to spin it as Marco-mentum, that, you know, he did better than expected in Iowa, coming very close to Donald Trump, and that here New Hampshire is sort of a more favorable state, as you mentioned, more moderate voters and folks for whom religion isn't as important. I think the thing that's hard is that Rubio is trying to kind of be, though, the Republican for all. So at campaign events, you meet voters who are torn between Rubio and Ted Cruz, but probably just as often you'll meet voters who are torn between Rubio and Chris Christie or Rubio and John Kasich. And so where and how he can build that coalition is still a little unclear, but I think that he is certainly building off of the momentum he had from Iowa.
Well, Asma, I want you to stay there for a second and maybe Rick jump in on this. Yes, we see his momentum, but we're also hearing criticism. And when we followed Rubio in Marco Rubio in Iowa, he said pretty much the same thing at every event. And Chris Christie has been jumping on that, you know, calling him the boy in the bubble and saying that he's like a robotic speech. I don't know, Rick, if you had thoughts on that.
He says that he's been giving the same speech for 5 years, maybe 10 years, that it means consistency, if nothing else. And the other candidates are just criticizing the way that he has been just on message throughout. And it's possible that he's just right. It's also possible that he's just not there. And that's the critique that you hear from the three governors. There's a whole side of the race that is about the establishment in trying to fill that lane. And you've got Kasich, you've got Bush, and you have Christie all actively undermining his ability, Rubio's ability to be commander-in-chief, to take on the duties of the presidency on day one. So he's got to stand on his own as this 44-year-old freshman senator against these three titans of the Republican Party.
Well, Rick, speaking of governors, pressure's on Chris Christie in New Hampshire. If he doesn't do well enough, what do you think? Could this be the beginning of the end for Chris Christie, or can he keep going?
Yeah, he and John Kasich, I think, are the ones to keep an eye on. If they don't outperform the other governors in the field, Jeb Bush, and stay close to Marco Rubio, it's going to be hard to carry on. Both Kasich and Christie, and to a lesser extent Jeb Bush, have been all in on New Hampshire, and they've spent so much time here working on the town hall circuit. There have been little feints and dodges with the polling numbers that suggest some momentum, but it doesn't seem like either of them has been able to put together a strong close. So, yes, the eyes will be on them on Tuesday.
Well, I mean, you know, Jeb Bush also is being watched closely, and either of you jump in here. Barbara Bush made an appearance for him. I mean, she still is so beloved. It's the third Bush she's campaigned for. She didn't think she was going to have to do it. She's 90. But what is the sense of what Jeb Bush does?
I mean, my colleague Scott Detrow was actually at that event last night, and he came back. We were chatting about what the sort of feel of the climate was like there. And he said, you know, what's hard is that when he spoke to voters, they still felt sort of lukewarm about Jeb Bush's campaign. They were excited to see Barbara Bush. People came out, you know, come out. They wanted to see what he had to say, but they still weren't willing to commit to him. And I can say, you know, I saw Jeb Bush very early on when he first launched his campaign in New Hampshire, his first house party. The excitement that was there then doesn't seem to be there now with his campaign.
Well, Rick, I'm wondering, is this thinking now that it might have been a mistake for Jeb Bush to run so far from his family that he even dropped his last name, you know, from his logo?
Yeah, I don't know there was ever going to be a strategy that worked with any last name for him, well, particularly this one. And I don't know that he was hiding it as much as emphasizing something else. And now going back to the emphasis, there still is loyalty to the Bush family. There still is a state in New Hampshire that's been relatively kind to his family. Barbara Bush, of course, very, very popular still. It just doesn't seem like it's the moment for someone from the Bush clan, the Bush dynasty, to dominate the mood in the Republican Party toward outsiders. It just may never have been. And all of that money that's been spent, by some measures, a third of all campaign spending this year across both parties have come from either Bush or the super PAC that's supporting Governor Bush, and it has done nothing to move the numbers.
Let's talk a little
and
bit about...
And I don't know how much... Go ahead. I was going to say, I just wanted to chime in and say, I don't know how much of it is actually just about Bush and how much of it may just be that the climate in the country has changed. And the moment for me that was really clear was earlier this week when President Obama visited a mosque in Baltimore. Jeb Bush came out and said that, I don't think that that's divisive at all. I mean, his own brother did this in 2001, but we heard Marco Rubio, who is certainly building momentum here in New Hampshire, with a very different response and said that, you know, he thought that it was a divisive statement for the president to go and visit the mosque.
Right. So, Asma, you make such a great point that, Jeb Bush running in any other time without Trump, Rubio, Cruz, it might be a different game.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about that debate last night on the Democratic side. Here's Bernie Sanders, who acknowledged, look, I don't have the foreign policy that Hillary Clinton does.
I fully concede that Secretary Clinton, who was Secretary of State for 4 years, has more experience. That is not arguable in foreign affairs. But experience is not the only point. Judgment is.
Rick, New Hampshire is such an interesting state because so many people, as we've already said, haven't made up their mind. You've got this big divide on foreign policy between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Is this an opportunity for Clinton to gain a little bit of ground before the vote?
Her people after the debate saying that Senator Sanders flunked the commander-in-chief test. The issue she's having is that those issues are simply not top of mind for Democratic primary voters. They weren't in Iowa. It's going to be hard in New Hampshire. She's been losing here pretty consistently since last summer to Senator Sanders. She's likely not to win here. I think a lot of her attention now is going to move further down the calendar, the long slog of South Carolina and well beyond that. But yes, it'll be her emphasizing her ability to do the job as commander-in-chief that I think that they hope will ultimately prevail. She just needs to move the discussion in that direction because it just simply hasn't been there for Democrats.
Well, but Rick and Asma, what has been top of mind? I mean, I was struck by how voters really are in Iowa, and we've been hearing them too from New Hampshire. They really are considering Ted Cruz's flat tax or Bernie Sanders' proposal to pay for college by taxing Wall Street speculators. I mean, they really seem to be, pulling at these issues and seeing how many they can put in each column for each candidate. But what is it that's what is it that's holding them up? Or is it just this vague kind of, we're also hearing this vague kind of sense of, I don't like the way things are, and so I'm voting for the guy who doesn't like the way things are.
I mean, I think, Rick, you were right when you were saying that, foreign policy just doesn't seem to be top of mind, at least on the Democratic side right now, in the Democratic primary, because one of the most telling moments for me in the debate last night was the issue of Wall Street. When Hillary Clinton accused the Sanders campaign of an artful smear, calling out the fact that she had taken these speaking fees from Goldman Sachs, and the crowd booed at that moment. And it was at that moment, where you sort of got a sense of how Democratic primary voters in New Hampshire feel about some of these economic issues. And to me, it was so interesting because, it's worth remembering that President Obama took gobs of campaign contributions from Wall Street in 2008, and the climate has changed.
But it seemed to me, watching that Bernie Sanders really restrained himself. He had much more of an opportunity to go after Hillary Clinton.
Well, I don't know. He was leading the boos.
He was, but he could have. He didn't say repeatedly, look, you took the money. Clinton was talking over and over again about how, look at my record. It's so strong against Wall Street. But at the end of the day, Bernie Sanders did not return to that and say, you took the money.
There's a line that Bernie Sanders will not cross in terms of his campaign conduct, and his supporters are even frustrated by it. He gets asked about this daily by voters, by journalists certainly that are looking to stir something up, but he does not go to that personal end. And that's what made Secretary Clinton's strike back so striking to me, is that he was trying to do this in a subtle way, and she kind of called that out, and I think he seemed taken aback by the fact that she was doing that, because he's tried to make this about the issues as much as he can. Then again, he has around the edges been very critical of her, it just without invoking a name or making it personal.
Well, someone who has had no trouble in calling people out is Donald Trump. he had a more humble tone on Monday. He told the Today Show you know, this is after he lost Iowa. He said, I'm trying to be, you know, more statesmanlike. Well, that seems to have evaporated. Here he is at a rally in Portsmouth yesterday.
We're going to have businesses. We're going to have businesses that used to be in New Hampshire that are now in Mexico come back to New Hampshire, and you can tell them to go themselves.
Look, you can laugh. You can say, oh, isn't that something? But, Rick, I mean, this is someone who's running for president of the United States.
Yeah, Barbara Bush, among others, calling him out for it. And I'd add that he made what you might think is another major campaign miscalculation. He was supposed to campaign in New Hampshire today, but he went home last night, as he often does after his events. And now he is snowed out, and he is not back in the state where he should be. So similar to skipping that debate in Iowa, we may look back to Donald Trump's travel decisions and decide that that was a mistake.
He's been put in the corner for his use of, you know, his language. Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Asma Khalid, campaign reporter for NPR. They are there in New Hampshire on the road. Jeremy's going to be there Monday. I'll be there Tuesday. Yep. And all eyes will be there. Guys, thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.